Blog Talk Radio. Canned Laughter and Coffee with Renee Bernard. Women's fiction, romance, and laughter.
Oh, that was Garrett's fault because...
It's totally not my fault.
Right before the break, Addison said something great about Hugh Jackman, and Garrett just must have had a fantasy right then and there. Did you hear that? He just
no.
Breathing.
It was
and
my internet connection.
Oh, was that what it was?
Honestly.
Oh. Sure. That's okay. That's fine.
Pre-show hijinks.
Yeah, I'll just give you that one, Garrett. We're just going to give you that one.
Thank you very much.
A little bit of denial. That's fine. Okay, so tonight on the show, we have got Addison Fox on the program. Welcome. Welcome to Canned Laughter
Thank
and Coffee.
Thank you. Thank you, Renee. Thank you for having me.
Oh, are you kidding me? I'm thrilled. I am so thrilled that you, like, somehow got tricked into doing this. Fantastic. Although we've tricked some big names, but this is always fun. And I'm actually hearing quite a buzz about the Sons of the Zodiac and the series that you've got. And today's a big day, right? I mean, it was today, right, that Warriors Avenged
It is. It's actually today. Book two of the series, the Sons of the Zodiac series, Warrior Avenged, hit the shelves today.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I admire you just as a writer for just crafting out a 12-book series and plug it. That is, woo, talk about bold. Because sometimes just getting a trilogy through the approval gate is a nightmare. But, no, you just sold 12.
Fortunately, the folks at NAL Signet were really excited about the idea. I can't say I've officially sold all 12 yet, but certainly I'm hoping that the readers enjoy the series as much as I do and that they want me to write all 12. That would be fantastic.
Nice. I know how that works. There's an element of hope.
There is always an element of hope. But fortunately, they've at least been hopeful about four of them. So
hope and fear.
So,
that is a mix that goes into writing. Please,
but we're going in the right direction, I hope.
Well, yes, and that's tough when you look way down the road and you're like, oh, let's get to Capricorn. I hope we get to Capricorn because
that's going to be
a good one, you know? You're like, don't leave that guy hanging. Come on
now. You know, exactly. And, you know, the fun part is because they're all so real in my head, I have mapped out all of them, and I see all of them. So I certainly hope every one of them is fortunate enough to get his happily ever after.
If not, you're just going to have to break out and come up with some means to get.
Exactly.
I'm going to pub. I'm going to put it on my web. I got to do something. Or something. The fans will get very upset.
You cannot leave them hanging.
No. So, you know, I just want to say, and heaven forbid, you know, and Garrett, he'll refrain, he'll hold back, but, you know, some of the zodiac signs are a little more maligned than others.
Yes.
And I think Scorpio is one of those that kind of gets a little bit of a negative slant. Am I right? I mean, it's a fiery.
It is. They're known as having fiery temperaments, but they're also known as being very sexy. And for me, that was a lot of the fun. As I said, I have really seen these guys in my head as I was putting the series together. But this hero, he's what I like to call my James Bond hero. He's a mercenary for MI6, and I always saw him in my head as this very smooth, very cool operator. And part of the fun of the story has been, and we get a preview of him in the first book, in Warrior Ascended, his name's Kane Montague, and Kane gets burned by a fellow agent, and we don't know why. And she's left him at an incredibly indelicate moment when she burnt him. And he is out to find her and find out why. And that's where book two opens.
A little revenge. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Bring it on. So not that Garrett had a metrosexual moment in the pre-show, because we've already established that Garrett did not have a metrosexual moment, although, but something about Hugh Jackman, you invoked the words Hugh Jackman, and then the show kind of kicked off live, which, frankly, that was just too funny for words. So,
I did.
Sorry,
so actually, and for the listeners, not only did I invoke the name Hugh Jackman, but I also invoked the name Daniel Craig. So I will tell you all my little secret, which was I was on deadline for this book. I was about a week away from turning it in, was working diligently, and I had an opportunity to, I live in New York City now, but I didn't last fall. It's a recent move. And I had an opportunity to come to New York and see the Hugh Jackman, Daniel Craig play that was on Broadway called A Steady Rain. And I willingly abandoned my focus and my deadline to come to New York and go to the Hugh Jackman, Daniel Craig play because I knew that any lack of sleep would be completely worth it and that they would be incredibly inspirational. And I was absolutely correct.
I don't see how that's an abandoning of I see that as a honing of the focus, an inspiring field trip.
I like the way
perhaps.
You think, Renee. Excellent,
think
excellent way to put it.
Tax write-off is what I'm thinking. I'm seeing that as research.
Research and inspiration all rolled up into one, actually.
Into one.
So, see, into
that's
one.
That's the direction I would be going there. So, yeah.
So, and you know, not only was it inspirational research, but they were absolutely fantastic. It was an incredible show. So it was just a really great experience. And truly, it was well worth the wait.
Yeah,
exactly. It's only 2 days.
You can call your editor and you say, you know what, I'm just going to be a couple days late, and here's why. And then you say those names, and I'm thinking NAL Signet goes, oh, yeah, uh-huh. Did you take pictures? Did you get his autograph? Did you, you know,
I know. Unfortunately, I didn't do either.
The stalking thing.
Well, I know. And they didn't let you take pictures in the theater.
No.
So I had to go on memory.
Yeah.
I had to go on memory, but oh, what memories they are. Oh.
They're pretty. They are pretty.
Yes, they
are. I think I would see them in just about anything. I would go to see Waiting for Godot if those guys were in it. And let me just say that for me that would be, you know, that says a lot.
Yeah, actually, hand on heart, I would go see them read the phone book.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be the most glorious 2 hours.
That is what I am saying. So you're talking about how they're so real in your head. Are you a visual? I'm kind of in my mind sometimes the books as I'm writing them, you know, because it's like a movie in my head, and I have a very strong visual of who's a what's is. So do you see the boys? Do you play the, if it's a movie, this is who I would want in that chair? Or
you know,
do you just try not to do that?
Yeah, no, that is a great question. For me, anything I've ever written, this is my first published work, but as most authors had worked for some time at my craft in seeking to be published. And for me, the story always comes from the spark of the two characters. That's always where it starts for me. And
yes.
So obviously in this case, because there's also the series element of building the band of brothers, I have a sketch of them in my head. I can't honestly say I play the who would they be in the movies. I tend to be, when I get into, I'm the same way as a reader, actually. When I read, there's this image that forms kind of abstractly in my head, and that's kind of how I write them.
I don't like to limit them by one actor, but I can see them in my head. But real quick, who comes first, the hero or the heroine, when you're doing your pairing?
You know, that's a great point. In this particular case, in this series, it has been the boys all the way.
The boys tend to be, for me anyway, as a writer, the boys come and then I figure out who would torture him most. Like, what kind of woman would take him down?
Yeah.
Is it wild? What kind of, if he's a gazelle, what kind of lion would it take to get this one down?
Exactly.
And then that's usually how it happens. Garrett's just too. Are you okay, Garrett? You all right?
Yeah, guys always come first.
There you go. See, I knew Garrett would see it his own unique way, so that was really helpful.
Yes, it's a male point of view.
There you go.
But, Addison, I think being character-driven, I think it's the way to go. I mean, because that's the way I am. I think it's the way to go.
You know, and it's so funny because one of the things that's so great about being a writer and you get to attend conferences and you know, different community groups that you're a part of, and I'm always fascinated to hear what other people's processes are. And ultimately, you just have to trust your own. You have to trust what works. But as a character-driven writer, Renee, I have to agree with you. It works. And that's all I care about is that it works.
Yes, there's something evil about it. No, but I think a lot of starting off aspiring writers, they do get hung up on studying how somebody else is doing it, and they think that there's a quest for the right way. And I don't know about you, but I always like to reassure, you know, the writers that are starting off that exactly what you said, it's whatever works best for you.
Yes.
If that's your creative process, then that is the right way to do it.
Exactly.
And as long as a good story gets put down on the page, at the end of the day, then cha-ching, you know, yay!
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, however you get there, it doesn't matter. I think is such a neat part of it is as unique as we are. Part of what makes every writer interesting is the voice that they bring to the piece. And, you know, their process is their own fingerprint. And,
absolutely.
You know, however they do it is what works for them, is what is truly, you know, quote,
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And if your process involves going to New York City and seeing a play with Hugh Jackman and Daniel Craig, then that's your process. And
then
there
that's
you
your process.
And
thank
you. Tell
your
editor, I was following my muse.
My process. That's
this
right.
This is my process. In the middle of my deadline, I have to go see Sexy Men Live on. Well, yes. that sounds like Chippendales, doesn't it, when you say it like that? I have to see Sexy Men Live on stage. But all
true.
Of a sudden it sounds like, yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, that's true. We kind of went off the rails there a little bit.
Yeah,
that's
you'll
okay.
have to phrase that a little
we knew what you meant. It's all good. It's all
you
good.
You can pitch that a little better when you. Your editor. So next.
Is, that could
so,
be my next I mean, workshop topic.
Yeah. How to. Go see Sexy Man. No. So Scorpio, I'm excited about. So next is Taurus, you said. So when is the next one?
It is. So my Taurus warrior, Quinn, who the readers will have met in both book one and book two, is going to be the hero of book three, Warrior Betrayed, which will come out next May 11th of 2011. So I actually just turned him in recently, and I'm working on book four now. So.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a dumb question. Are you deliberately making them in alphabetical order so they look good on the shelf?
Okay,
or
here's what's so funny.
Accidental.
I love it. You are not the first person who's asked me that. And
oh,
the
God.
Reality is it was so not intentional. It truly was not intentional. However, I am absolutely bound and determined that the title for book four is not going to have, it's not going to start with the letter C. It's going to have a different letter of the alphabet somewhere else.
Oh, come on. Warrior captured. Warrior desired. Warrior deceived.
I know.
You've got to do
know.
It. You're stuck now.
I know. And like I said, it was so not the intention. I'm going to be like one of those people that names my children in order. That was truly not my intention.
Or
not that there's anything wrong with naming your children
it.
In order
yeah.
either. It certainly works for Lady Whistledown. But,
Just, or don't pick a letter and get stuck on that. I've never understood that because that's just, you know, that's just wrong. That's wrong, people. It's wrong.
There's a whole alphabet to use.
Jade Lee does it, though. I don't know if you're familiar with Jade, but she's got an insane amount of books on the shelf, and that woman deliberately puts them in alphabetical order so that the readers can just...
Well, and she's so phenomenal and so fabulous that, you know, and obviously, you know, maybe I should be taking a page from that book because she's so great. I love what she
does. I know.
Does.
I've tried a couple times, but it just doesn't quite seem to gel.
And clearly it's working for Sue Grafton, too. So, you know, maybe there really is something in using the alphabet.
You have to plan ahead on these things.
Right.
You can't just let the characters drive us. We have to stop and be driven by the alphabet. Uh-oh. See? That was it. That's it. See, there's the music.
There we go.
And I get a chance to say thank you so much, Addison Fox. And I hear nothing but fabulous things about you, and I know you're going to have such an incredible run at this, and your readers are just going to have so many wonderful books to look forward to. Thank you, Renee, for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. And if I may take just one quick moment to celebrate some writer friends, the folks at the Romance Dish have been so awesome and so encouraging of my work. And they're hosting me on their blog tomorrow. So
woo-hoo!
I hope it's okay I throw that little tidbit in there. But I'm looking forward to spending some time with them tomorrow.
Blog freely. But remember, you can't take it back.
So true.
Try to do a little editing as you go. That's what I always tell people when
they're blogging.
Absolutely. Watch yourself.
Editing is our friend.
All right, everybody. Good night. And thank you for coming in for Can Blaster and Coffee. And we'll see you next Tuesday for more. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.